You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
So this is our last lesson on sowing and reaping. And then once this one is over, well, I'm not going to talk about where we're going. Let's get through this one first. Genesis chapter 7. Look at verse... Well, let's talk about this story. Let's talk about the story of Noah. Somebody tell me what is unique. What do we see for the very first time in the story of Noah? This is an easy question. They only get worse from here. Yeah. Huh? Rain. It's the first time we ever see rain. God tells Noah, I am going to cause a flood to come on the earth. Noah says, what's a flood? God says, a flood is what happens when it rains too much. Noah says, what's rain? God says, just do what I tell you to do, boy. I'm paraphrasing. Y'all got to wake up. Come on. Open your eyes, children. You're alive. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. One more time. In through your nose. Out through your mouth. Hallelujah. Breath of life. So God tells Noah, I'm just going to teach this, and you're going to have to catch it by faith. If you're tired, then you're going to have to shake it off. God tells Noah that He is going to send rain on the earth to destroy the earth. Why? Why is God? Is God just egomaniacal and a total maniac and just wants to kill everybody off? Why? Man was what? Man was what? Say it again. Wicked. In this next series on Wednesday nights, we're going to talk a lot about good and evil. What is good and what is evil? Jalen, come on up here, boy. You're the only person on that row. Actually, just scoot right here. I want to see your face. Everybody else, y'all think y'all going to get away with sitting back there? Uh-uh. No, come sit with Najee. Y'all come on up here. Come. Let's see. There's got to be somewhere, hey, here you go, right here. Right over here, right here. There's some seats right over there. All right, so man is wicked. The earth is covered with people who are doing things that God did not intend for them to do. Now, this is prior to, good job, super kids. This is prior to grace. Okay? This is prior to Jesus, where the wages of sin was death. So the earth had become wicked beyond what God wanted to deal with. God says, I am going to send a flood on the earth and destroy every living creature except Noah and his family. Why was Noah and his family spared? Huh? They honored God. They stayed true. I'm looking for another word. Go. Okay. They did obey. This is good. Go. Very good. They were righteous. Understand this, children, that your righteousness is what saved. You are saved by grace through faith, and that makes you the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Doing good, doing the right thing, those things don't get you into heaven. Accepting your righteousness by faith is what gets you into heaven. Salvation comes to those who will accept righteousness. If you could be good enough to go to heaven, then none of us would go to heaven. All right? We'd all be in trouble. Christianity is not about being good. It's about being righteous. And if you accept righteousness, start to think righteous, then you'll do righteous. I've said that before. Right? So always think in terms of righteousness. Why was Noah saved? Because he was righteous. God found him to be righteous. Now, the way that he was righteous is that he kept God's commandments. Now, this is before the commandments were given. How did that work out? How did God find righteousness in a man who had no guideline for what it meant to be righteous? The Bible says this. It focuses in on Noah's relationship with God. But I'm not here to teach Noah today. I want you to understand that Noah is righteous before God. Noah's family is saved. God sends a flood onto the earth through the avenue of rain. Say rain. Oh, God. Boy, I tell you what, it's like preaching through Jell-O. Say rain.
Rain.
Oh, y'all almost there. You're almost there. I'm not looking at you to shout my eardrums out, but I am looking at you to open your mouth and speak as though you are awake. Say rain.
Rain.
Very good. That's much better. I know some of y'all still sat out. All the ones that sat out, y'all tripping. Anyway. Look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are very good children. Very good children. I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Now, in this generation is critical. Why? Because the laws and the commandments and the Torah have not been given yet. So in the context of that generation, Noah found righteousness before God, or was found to be righteous before God. Now, I'm really trying my best not to teach Noah, because that's not where I want to be. But I want you to understand that the Bible puts pressure on your righteousness. It has nothing to do with whether or not you do the right thing. If I could tell you that every day, I would. For some of you, you're like, well, that means I ain't got to do the right thing. And that's not true. That's not true. Just praise God that your salvation is not hinged on it. But you are made righteous through what Jesus did, and you living in the place of what Jesus did gains you a righteous status. I get a lot of head waggers. Head waggers, I mean people who nod a lot. I get a lot of this going on. But when the rubber meets the road and you're back in school, this is why I want to tell you this every day. Because if I asked you, what's your name? Taylor, 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 what's your name? Does it ever change? Is she ever going to tell me anything different? Stop it. Is she ever going to tell me anything different? No. However, if I walk up to you in your school, at your locker, or while you're walking to lunch, and I said, are you righteous? 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 What if you, what about that moment right after you think about cursing somebody out? Because I know nobody in here curse people out. Because y'all are all Jesus' third cousins, and that would be too wrong. Right? Not me. Not I. I attend 1440. Right? So if I walk up to you right after you think about it and I go, are you righteous? Yeah, a little hesitation. But if I say, Taylor, what's your name? Woo, no hesitation. I am Taylor. Well, not me, but her. Right? She is Taylor. No matter what happens, what takes place, what transpires, what she's caught up in, whether she feels good, whether she feels bad, no matter what happens, she is Taylor. She's Taylor all the time. You're righteous all the time. And if you're not bearing righteous fruit, it has nothing to do with your identity. It has everything to do with your activity in terms of thinking righteous. Your mental activity will get in the way of you bearing righteous fruit. It's not about what your hands do, although your hands manifest what happens mentally, i.e. you don't do anything with your hands without first thinking about it. So if you thought righteous all the time, your hands would do righteous things. Your mouth would say righteous things. That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, because it's in you. Got it? Praise God. All right, so Noah's found righteous by God. He calls him into the ark. Now look at verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep. Say fountains of the great deep. The great say it again. Fountains of the great deep. Of the great say it one more time. Fountains of the great deep. All the fountains of the great deep. Where was I at? There we go. We're broken up. Say broken up. Say it again. Broken up. And the windows of heaven were open and rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Understand that Noah's one righteous person. The world is wicked. Noah finds righteousness in the sight of God. Noah and his sons' wives are saved because of Noah's righteousness. You and your household. You and your household. The promise later on would be you and your household shall be saved. So Noah and his sons are saved because of his righteousness. And the way that God purifies the earth is through rain. God purifies the earth through rain. Why? There's one righteous man who found favor in the sight of God because of his righteousness. The rest of the world is unrighteous. And so God won't tolerate unrighteousness in the face of righteousness. And so he saves the one righteous person and purifies the rest of his world through the avenue of rain. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now look at let's start at verse 11. I'm going to read it to you, and I was going to do it in the message version of the Bible, but I'm going to stick over here. The Lord will open to you his good treasures, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Anybody see anything interesting in that passage of scripture? Ain't nobody else seeing nothing interesting in that passage of scripture. Everything is real mundane in that passage of scripture. Ain't nothing going on in that passage of scripture that makes you go, interesting. Dalvin, you see anything interesting in that passage of scripture? All you nerds with your hand up, I'm not calling on you. And then everybody puts their hand up so they don't get called on, right? Najee, what's interesting in that passage of scripture? Anybody? Okay, nerds. Go. Why is that interesting?
Because
Why is that interesting? Go.
He said the rain will come and then he said, and it's season. And then he said, after that, and to bless all of them.
Why is that interesting?
Because the rain will come and prosper, or you could say cleanse the ground, and then it helps the crops grow. And it says in its season.
Uh-huh. Right, why is that interesting? Go.
You talked about last week about a season of sowing and harvest.
Uh-huh.
And that means there's also a season of purification.
Anybody else? I love nerds. Y'all think y'all got them those brain juices just it's real easy. Go. Okay, that's cool. Huh? This ain't a spelling bee. Can you repeat the word? Use it in a sentence. What's its origin? The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Go. Y'all are all around it. Yeah, you're all. Alex, come here. Oh, just come here, boy. Hold your arm out. On this side of it, right here. Right here. Is that a sensitive part of your arm?
I guess.
Yeah, look, I mean, like you can feel things more right in there. Does that hurt?
A little bit.
What about now?
Kind of.
What about now? How about now?
A little bit more.
How about now?
It's hurting a bit more. Yeah.
It's hurting a good boy. Is this good for you? I mean, your arm's starting to turn red.
No, it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good? It's not good. Mm-hmm. You sure? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I walked up to you every day, he hates me giving him a hug. I give him a hug all the time. So he absolutely hates it. But and hugs are good. But if I walked up to you tomorrow and I said, hey, hold out your arm. Mm-hmm. Let me thump it 5 times. It's going to be good for you. Would you believe me?
No.
Why not?
Because it hurts.
Because it hurts, right?
Yeah.
All right, go sit down. Does anybody understand now? God tells Noah, Noah, I'm going to destroy everything on the earth with a flood. Noah says, what's a flood? God says, a flood is what happens when it rains too much. Noah says, what's rain? Noah doesn't find out what rain is until he gets into the ark and water starts to fall from the sky. Water falls from the sky, kills everything on planet Earth except Noah and his sons. Deuteronomy 28, we turn over. God says, I'm going to send rain on your land to produce crops to bless you. Rain just got finished killing everything. But all of a sudden, the thing that God uses to purify his world because of unrighteousness to save one righteous man and one righteous family now becomes an avenue of blessing for everything on the earth. Why? What happens when there's no rain? You don't eat. You don't eat. Because nothing grows, because everything dries out. So God kills everything with rain, and then later on, God uses the same thing that he used to kill everything to bless everything. And a part of the blessing of Abraham is that you would be able to come in contact with and experience the thing that I used in abundance to wipe out the earth to bless you. You need rain, right? Rain's a good thing, right? Uh-huh. Tell the people 2 days before the flood that rain was a good thing. Tell the folks the day of the flood that rain's a good thing. Tell the people 3 days after the flood, rolling around on logs, like trying to survive, that rain was a good thing. They'd look at you like you were stupid. This is not good. We are dying. This is not good. But then later on, God starts promising rain. Do you realize how people, huh? Huh? You're going to make it rain every time it thunders. Right after the world dries up, Noah's sons start having babies. Every time it thunders, they're like, you sure about that? The covenant was, I'll never destroy the earth with rain again. And rain becomes a blessing and not a curse. Now, we pray for rain. We pray for rain physically and we pray for rain spiritually. Don't worry, it'll heal. I did it to you because I know your daddy. I just want you to know that. It's your dad's fault. You shouldn't be mad at him. All right, so listen. Rain comes on the earth, right? Makes crops grow. Right? Right? You need rain. You need rain physically, and you need rain spiritually. Rain spiritually symbolizes an outpouring of God's blessing. Now, how did rain get the symbolism of the outpour of God's blessings when early on in the Bible, rain is used to wipe out the earth? Through covenant. Through covenant. Now, watch what happens and how outpouring happens. See, it's important that you understand this in terms of sowing and reaping. Don't worry, I haven't forgot what we're talking about. I'm not just talking about Noah just because I like talking about Noah. Although this is my way of getting into some Noah because I hadn't been able to do that for a long time. Now watch how outpouring happens. And listen, say this after me. Say, outpouring happens the same way all the time. The principles of the kingdom of God work 100% of the time. It always happens the same way. If you want outpouring in your life, there's one prescription for outpouring. Look at what happens during the flood with Noah. What happened? How did the earth flood? Did the earth flood by way of rain? No, what happened? I had you say it. You said it out loud. The fountains of the deep. The fountains of the what? Of the, not just the deep, but the what kind of deep? What does the Bible say? No, there's an adjective for deep. It describes deep. Huh? I had you say it. Great! The fountains of the great deep. The great, in other words, the fountains of the deep, deep. The deep, the deep, deep, the deep, deep, deep. The real deep, like the way down deep, the fountains of the deep were broken up. What is the fountains of the deep? What covers the fountains of the deep? Rock. What covers the fountain of the deep? Dirt. What covers the fountains of the deep? All kinds of sediment. Everything that has ever flowed out of a volcano or come upon the earth or made anything grow. Trees on top of the fountain of the deep. There's so many things on top. So many different layers on top of the fountains of the deep. But when rain came, when God prescribed an outpouring, the first thing that happened was that he broke up the fountains of the great deep. There's some fountains of the great deep inside of you. This is why you need to learn the principles for sowing and reaping. Because if you never break earth, if you never break ground, nothing will ever grow. If you never turn over the fallow ground, turn over the earth, what the Bible says is plow up the fallow ground, turn the earth over, then nothing will ever grow. If you don't, let me get out of the figurative and get into the literal. If you never change your ingrained method of thought, your constant method of thought, the way that you think, the way that you have always thought, the way that you've always done things, the way that you've always been, the way that you've always conceptualized, the way that you've always reasoned, what you always do when something happens, what other people always do when things happen, what people have always done historically. When you stop expecting what has always happened and start expecting what God wants to happen, that is when the fountains of the great deep break up. You know, do you understand that a theory of living or the way that you conceptualize the world is ingrained inside of you? So if I tell one of you to come up here and write your name on a piece of paper, you would write your name in a certain way. If I told another person to come up and now write her name on a piece of paper, are they going to look the same? No, because one person has one handwriting and another person has a different handwriting. Why is that so? Because it has everything to do with their education, with their personality, with their penmanship. All of that is ingrained in them. It's so deep in them that changing it is nearly impossible. It's not completely impossible, but it's nearly impossible. The hardest thing to change in the world is a human being, and the only way it can be done is by the Word of God. But until you start putting the Word of God into your mind and into your mouth and into your heart, the fountains of your deep will never break up. And until you get a conceptualization that everything happens through the avenue of sowing and reaping, you will never reap because your deep hasn't broken up. Did I lose you? Are you sure? Now, I just said a whole lot of stuff, so I got to back it up with scripture, right? Let's look back at Deuteronomy before we leave. Verse 12, now it should mean something totally different to you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens. Stick your finger there and look over at Genesis chapter 7 again. Right at about verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. So the windows of heaven were open when? After what broke up? The fountains of the great deep. Now turn over here. It goes through all of the blessings of Abraham, but it starts off in verse 20, in chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. It starts with obedience, which requires the fountains of the great deep to be broken up. You gotta start obeying when you don't understand. You got to start obeying when you don't like it. You got to start obeying when your friends are doing the opposite. You got to start obeying when it don't make you look good. You got to start obeying when it tastes funny. You got to start obeying when you don't feel like it. You got to start obeying when you wake up early on a Sunday morning and come to the intensive and Pastor John wants you to talk back. Why? Because you don't receive anything until you open up the deep. It's deep. The Bible, Proverbs says this, the spirit of rebellion is deep within the heart of a child. Deep within the heart of a child. Deep within the heart of the child. Deep within the heart of the child. Deep within the heart of the child. Deep, 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 deep. Paul says, deep cries out to deep. God's not concerned about your surface level action. He's concerned about your deep. You become righteous when you get deep. When you let what is deeply, that's why the Spirit of God comes and lives where? Inside you. Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but he will be in you. Human beings are so used to getting their behavior this way, from the outside in. That made me react. That made me do. That made me mad. That made me angry. That made me, that made me, that made me. And I'm not looking for that made me. God's not looking for that made me. God is looking for what is inside of you and what is that making you do. How is what's deep in you causing you to react and manifest? All these blessings will come upon you if you diligently pay attention to what God says and get the deep parts of you opened up. Now watch what happens. So we read that in Genesis, that the fountains of the deep broke up. Now in Deuteronomy, if you diligently listen, the rain will come on your land. Break up the deep, I'll send an outpouring. 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 You want an outpouring? Break up the deep. You want some? You want to see a move of God? Break up the deep. You want to see signs, wonders, miracles? Break up the deep. You want to see some things happening in the spirit and the supernatural? Break up the deep. That means you got to get out of the natural and get into the supernatural, because it's naturally. Anybody ever hear someone say the words, "It happens naturally"? I hate that term. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Because some things happen naturally because God made them that way, i.e. you turn 13, you turn 14, your voice is probably going to change. That happens naturally. But some things happen naturally not because God put them there, but because man put them there, and or because God put them there and man perverted it. Satan perverted it. And so to say it happens naturally is to cheapen what God did for you in the natural. He made your natural body conform to what was happening in you from the deep. And when your natural body starts to be shallow, you start to manifest something that is not God. How do I know that? Well, shallow temptations happen. Shallow things happen on the surface. Shallow things happen in the flesh. Shallow, she wore a tight skirt, a short skirt. That made me. That's shallow. He said something. He talked about me. That's shallow. He criticized me, or she talked about my family. That's shallow. How can I say that's shallow? Well, Pastor John, you don't understand. It hurt my feelings, or it made me want to do something, or it brought back memories. All of that's shallow. Why? Because what's deep inside you should be driving it. What's the most important thing to you? Is God the most important thing to you? Because if God's the most important thing to you, then he is the deepest thing inside you. But if God's not the most important thing to you, then he won't be the deepest thing inside of you. And if he's not the deepest thing inside of you, he's not what's going to come out. That's why the fountains of the deep have to be broken up first, so that he can permeate the deep things of you. That's why praying in the spirit, it says it reveals things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, what does this have to do with sowing and reaping? Look at Malachi. Chapter 3. Verse 10. Well, actually, let's start at verse 8. Will a man rob God? It's a heck of a question to get. Well, a man, no, I ain't robbing you. I ain't got no gun that big. Can't hold God up. Can't knock off 7-Eleven. You ain't like a 7-Eleven. Can't knock off God. Never catch God at an ATM making a withdrawal. You put a gun in his back and be like, let me get all your money. No. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say... And I'm quoting this from the King James because that's how I learned it. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, that's a hefty statement. You have purposed to withhold something because of what's going on inside of you. For whatever reason, deep, whatever the deep is, supernaturally, you have chosen not to act. You have chosen to be stagnant, stale. Right? Now, how do you return? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. What are you doing? You're breaking up the deep. You're breaking up the deep. Anytime the Bible tells you to do something that you don't want to do or that seems silly to you, you're breaking up the deep. Jalen, come here. Hurry up, man. Come on. Stand right there. Lift your hands in praise. Nobody else in here has their hands up. It may feel, if you were him, I'm not going to point anybody out because you wouldn't be honest with me in the first place, but if you were him, this could at some point make you feel just a little uncomfortable. But the psalmist writes that you should lift up your hand in praise. Lift up your head in praise. This may seem a little weird in front of everybody, right? Like, how many of you want to do this in front of everybody, no music going on, just praising God? Oh, there's a couple of you that are just spiritual nerds. Lift up your head and praise. Why? Why do we have to do that? I don't got to praise God like that. I ain't got to do that. Why? Because the psalmist writes, "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." The King of glory doesn't come in until the head is lifted and the person is open. The fountains of the deep are broken up. That's when the King of glory comes in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. If you want God to be mighty on your behalf, you're going to have to break up the fountains of the deep. Have a seat. So what does he say in Malachi about sowing and reaping? Break up the fountains of the deep. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me in this, says the Lord. What does the Lord do when you try him? When you start breaking up the fountains of the deep, how does God respond? What is God's response to you breaking up the deep? I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, for all of you nerds, this may not mean anything to anybody else, but for you five nerds that are in the room, I want you to know something. In the original Hebrew, when it starts talking about rain coming on the earth, fountains of the deep breaking up and God sending rain on the earth, the Hebrew word for the rain that caused the flood is the same Hebrew word that says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God, there's no shadow of turning. He always does things the same. That's why I had you say the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom of God work how often? 100% of the time. They work 100% of the time. 100% of the time. So the way God did it yesterday is the same way he's going to do it today. That doesn't mean it's going to look the same, but it's the way his methodology is always the same. God's method is always the same. Now, who he uses may change, but his method is the same. So the outpouring happens when the fountains of the deep are broken up. I will pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough for you to receive, and then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'll make sure it doesn't get eaten, it doesn't get stolen. You want to operate in an area, in a method of supernatural outpouring, you're going to have to break up the fountains of the deep. That's why, listen to me, and I don't got a whole lot of time to continue this because I got to be on time today. I can cheat other times, but today I got to be on time. That's why I say crazy stuff like, I want to see all of you at the altar. I want to see all of you at the altar worshiping. It's not because you being at the altar makes me look good. I mean, that's a byproduct. Praise God, I'm the youth pastor. They see the youth up there, they're like, Pastor John, you're doing such a good job. You don't know what I had to go through to get them jokers up there. I had to promise them all Snickers bars. You gonna buy $500 worth of Snickers bars? No, I tell you to go up front and worship. Why? Even when you don't feel like it. Why? But I gotta want to do it in order for it to work. No, you don't. Principles of the kingdom of God work how often? 100% of the time. Sometimes you gotta do some stuff that you don't want to do so that you can get something that you want, even though you don't want to do it. So I tell you to go up there. What am I doing? I'm breaking up the deep. I tell you, don't send me a text message that says you're sorry. What am I doing? I'm breaking up the deep. I tell you, don't tell me what you can't do. I'm breaking up the deep. I start to get in your business and start to make you mad, so mad that you won't even talk to me. What am I doing? I'm breaking up the deep. We sit down and we have a conversation about the thing that you're praying for that has upset you for years. What am I doing? Breaking up the deep. You keep coming back because somebody else told you to come back, not because you want to come back. Why? I'm breaking up the deep. We get into this cycle where the deep is being broken. The deep being broken doesn't feel good. It hurts sometimes. But what happens after the deep is, well, don't make me preach, children. Y'all gonna make me finish the rest of this in tongues. What happens after the fountains of the deep are broken up? The outpouring happens. You may not like the fountains of the deep being broken up, Taylor, but then kids get saved in the shadow of your school. The outpouring happens. Why? Because the deep. You may not like not sending me I'm sorry, but then you learn that you can actually talk to people without freaking out. What happens? The outpouring happens when the deep broken up. So this morning, while Brother Copeland is here, you need to figure out a way to break up your deep. If you really want the outpouring, figure out a way to break up your deep. And watch the outpouring happen.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.